The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are about to listen to Therapy in a Nutshell. I am Dr. Patricia Bay, and I am on KCNR Radio, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM. Today, we're going to be talking about technology and relationships. We're kind of going to focus a lot on the cell phone, but feel free to substitute computer, iPad, iPod, anything. Something that is taking your attention with technology. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because in my 30 plus years of private practice, I see a lot of couples. And over the last, I'd say the last year to 2 years, I'm starting to hear more and more that technology is playing a huge factor in relationships. And, excuse me, and what I hear is complaints such as, I sent him a text, he never answered me. People getting in a huge argument by text and misunderstanding each other. People breaking up by text or by email. Email being used to have very important conversations. Distractions. I was talking to her and she kept staring at her phone. I didn't know if she was listening to me or not. We're in the middle of making love and the phone buzzes and he stops and goes over and gets it. Those are the things I'm hearing, and people are disgruntled about it, resentful, they're worried. The other thing I hear a lot is, I look over there and he or she is always on her cell phone or his cell phone, and I'm wondering, who is he constantly talking to, and who is that's texting him in the middle of the night, and what is that constant focus on the phone? Does it have to do with somebody else? Do I need to be threatened? Should I be jealous? The other thing I hear is people being locked out a lot. I can't see a cell phone. It's always on password. I try looking at it when he's in the shower, but he took it with him. I hear that stuff a lot. It has to do with jealousy, suspicions, feeling neglected, feeling unimportant. Now, this isn't to say that everything about technology is bad. I mean, think of the times that you text your partner and say, when you leave work, stop at the store and get this and this. It's very efficient. They type back, okay. You don't have to have a big conversation. You don't have to interrupt them at their office or whatever. So there are some really good uses of our technology. And some generations are more comfortable with others. If you think about it, our teenagers and young adults today have never had a life without this kind of technology. Those of us that are older have been introduced to it slowly and might be a little more hesitant. For example, I do Facebook and text and emails, but I don't want Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I don't want all those extra electronic leashes. I feel like I have enough electronic leashes. But I have clients in my office that they have 5 or 6 electronic leashes that they're looking at all the time. So the issue that we're talking about is just what effect does your cell phone, does your focus on technology have on your relationship? And by relationship, I don't just mean your spouse or your significant other. It might be your relationship with your teenagers or your young adults or your children. I mean, I think back on my 12-year-old granddaughter. When she was 18 months old, she would sit in front of the big computer. And it was so cute because she had her teddy bear, her blankie, and her pacifier, which we called her pluggy. So she had her pluggy, pacifier, and blanket and teddy bear. And she's sitting there wrapped up in a diaper playing Pop It. And this kid is brilliant. So she's 18 months old, and she is playing the games of Pop It and winning and moving up in the levels. And I'm sitting there staring at her going, that is a baby in front of the computer. Now at 12, she is so computer literate and so technology efficient. And that's a wonderful thing. It's good. But this is also the same kid who spends the night at my house, and I never see her because she's back in the guest room where she sleeps on her phone, on her iPad. talking to her friends, you know, and okay, it's today's world. But where's the significant relationship that you have with that child? So I know a lot of people are worrying about this. They worry about screen time. They worry about addiction. They worry about hurting people's feelings. Almost everyone I've ever talked to has had their feelings hurt by text or by email. And we need to really take a good hard look at this as a society. So today we're going to be focusing on that. Just how does your cell phone affect your relationships? And feel free to call in. The phone number here at the studio is 1-area code 530-605-4567. My producer, Jared, is here. You don't have to worry about interrupting the show. Jared will take the call and either write down your question or comment or save the phone call until it's a good time to put you through. So the phone number again, 1-530-605-4567. So let's go over a couple of things that are important for us to realize. There are pros and cons to technology in our relationships. There was a study at Rutgers University that found users of social media tend to have more close relationships, and not just online, but in real life. So they did a study, and they were looking at people and saying, is it true that people isolate themselves in their house and have only online relationships, and then they start to disintegrate their real live relationships? And the study at Rutgers found out that that isn't necessarily true, that sometimes social media and online connection leads to making dates, meeting for coffee, saying, when can we get together for lunch? Do you want to go to the movies? So there is that element that it's a way to connect up with people in a simplistic, quick manner and arrange to connect in person. Now, we also know not everybody does that. So there is a portion of the community and population that does isolate in their home and uses social media as their only social outlet. So sometimes it can lead to more offline interaction. There's also the thought that it leads to more close relationships, more in number. I mean, some people will have, like if you've listened to my podcast on trust, how to develop trusting relationships and what level those trusting relationships are, some people are lucky if they have a couple of really close friends that they confide in, that they can tell anything to, that they feel loved and accepted by. And some of the research has shown that when people are engaged in social media, they will count more people as their close friends that they could instant message in the middle of the night or talk to online, FaceTime or whatever, and have a real conversation about real stresses and real worries. So there are some people that get more support and more help and more close relationships from social media. The other thing is social media has played a significant effect in us keeping relationships across distance. It used to be when somebody left the office or moved out of your neighborhood, it was hard to stay in touch. You'd send them a Christmas card once a year, but we didn't always pick up the phone and have lengthy conversations. You didn't see them, and the relationships tended to disintegrate. With social media, you can stay in touch more. One of the things, I got on Facebook a number of years ago because I wanted to watch what my kids were posting in terms of pictures and fun stuff. They were adult children, so I wasn't worried about what choices they were making. I just wanted to stay in the loop and see all the fun stuff that was being posted. And a side benefit with that of that is that I was able to connect significantly with some childhood friends that I really loved and to be supportive of each other. When my husband died, my dear friend who is my junior high friend, who I call Lily, and Lee will probably be listening to this, so shout out to Lily. I call her Lily, and she was really supportive of me after Rich died. And then when her wife died, her partner, I was able to be supportive of her. And that was wonderful and loving and kind and connected. I connected with another childhood friend from elementary school, Diane Arndt. I just love that woman. And so we've reconnected. And those kind of make you smile friendships that you connect with are one of the wonderful things about social media. It also, you can create community from your friends on social media. Say you're on a specific Facebook site, like I'm on a Native American Flute Players Facebook site, and all of us from around the world connect and talk and share information, and that's kind of fun. The other thing that I really liked was when my husband was dying of his terminal brain disease, behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration. It's a mouthful. When Rich was dying of that, I was on a Facebook site of spouses, and there were about 39, 40 of us from around the world who had spouses with FTD, and we were very supportive of each other. There were times I didn't think I could make it through the night without Lillian and Connie and other friends on that site, that we all reached out to each other. So those are some of the real pros about technology, and they can keep you connected and make things work for you. Some of the cons that I hear in my office and from people talking and, you know, around the media is that there's a lot of bullying that happens of kids and of adults. You might post something, some opinion, and in this day and age, political opinions can create a viral storm. But say you post an opinion and what you get back is shaming, judgment, horribleness, and in kind of a bullying thing. And then the bullying can happen to kids, too. Plus, people tend to be keyboard heroes. They, behind a keyboard, they'll say just about anything that they would never say to your face. They can be rude and caustic and all sorts of things. Then there's this pressure to post a good life. You post your vacation. You post the wonderful date that you had with your husband. You post all this great stuff, and you feel the pressure to post only the good stuff and never the real stuff. There's also a fear when you see everybody else's wonderful posts that your life isn't as good, and that if you really posted your real life, you would look like a total mess. I hear that one a lot. Technology also is affected by our inability to be bored. We have to be busy all the time, or we have too much thought time, which is scary. Some people can't be in their own heads. Sometimes my head is really scary. And so we find ourselves escaping. It also hampers our ability to make eye contact because we are not face-to-face with a person. There's also that loss of body language, the cues that we need, the facial expressions, the little sarcastic comment that comes with the wink and the cute smile. I'll tell you, the little sarcastic comment on text doesn't sound like the little sarcastic cute comment. It sounds mean and nasty. So it's one of the things to remember. Sarcasm does not come over by writing an email or by text. So we're going to take a break in just a minute. And when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about just how the cell phone makes you feel insecure, jealous, suspicious, and all sorts of stuff. So come back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and we are talking about technology and your relationships. So we, in the beginning of the show, we were talking about how does cell phone usage affect you and affect your relationships, whether your kids or your spouse, our work colleagues, our friends. Cell phones are playing an increasingly heavy role in how we run our daily existence and how we run ourselves minute to minute. And there's a lot of couples that are starting to say devices in their hands, cell phones and iPads and all that kind of stuff, and social media have become an issue in their relationship, whether it's excessive usage or interruption or the feeling that that device is more important than the person sitting in front of you. It's created some problems, and couples are actually saying that they fight over it and they worry a lot about it. So is the phone that your partner has more important than you? Do you worry about that? Do you worry about who is the person talking to? Do you feel jealous or suspicious? Do you find yourself saying, who are you talking to? Or even in a more angry tone, this is what I hear in my office a lot, is I have no idea who he or she is talking to, but they're on that phone all the time. They seem to have this incredible relationship with somebody that they're smiling and smirking and laughing about, and I don't get much of that from him or her at all. So I'm starting to hear the real tension show up a lot. It's been increasing over the last year to 2 years. So let's talk about the idea of us being addicted to our phones. And we're going to focus on the cell phone right now, but feel free to insert other electronic media. Do you feel that you have a compulsive need to check your phone? It's kind of interesting. We watch people do that all the time. They either keep their phone in their pocket and it buzzes, rings, vibrates, all sorts of stuff, and they are looking at their phone constantly. They might put it down, but then they're picking it up again. Is your phone always on your mind? Are you saying, where's my phone? Where's my phone? Oh, here it is. Do you tend to feel nervous when your phone is plugged into the charger and away from you? Those are all signs that you're really hyper-connected to your phone. We were talking a little bit about this with a couple of friends, and my friend Donna said, you know, the issue for me is that my phone is my camera, and I have this phone, you know, I like taking pictures of the important things in my life, so my camera is always there. So if I start thinking about putting my phone away, like on vacation, that's hard to do because there's my camera. So, you know, you can put your phone on airplane mode. And airplane mode shuts off everything but the things that don't need to be online. So you can shut off your texts and your emails and interruptions like that, and you still can use your camera. You still could, you know, look at your calendar might come up, things like that. So that's something to think about. But we're going to talk at the end of the show about some techniques and some ideas for maybe reducing the intrusion of cell phones into your relationship. But what does an unanswered text mean to you? This is another sign that you're hyper-focused on your phone. If you send a text, is it your expectation that somebody answer it immediately? Okay, it might be your expectation, it might not. But what does it mean if they don't answer it for a long time? What does it mean if they never answer it? So what are you doing on your phone and who are you talking to? What do you like your phone for the most? And how important is it that you stay really connected to it? The other thing is, how transparent are you with your phone? Does your spouse have your passwords? Could your spouse pick up your phone and enter your lock-in code? Does your spouse know how to get on your Facebook page or your all the other ones, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. Do you have conversations or relationships on your social media or your cell phone or your text that your spouse doesn't know anything about? Do you hide that? Are you worried that if your spouse did get into your phone, they would misread some joking sort of things that you've been doing with people? Have you ever tried to take an electronic break but couldn't do it? And it's interesting because when our cell phone becomes so much a part of our lives, like my clients email me, I like to do that best because it's easier than trying to connect with them on the telephone, is that you have to keep looking at that because it's your lifeline to your business. So what happens if you try to take an electronic break? Can you take an electronic break from work? It's, you know, it's not always easy. Has your phone become your lifeline? Has it become your connection to everybody? It's so funny because I keep a home phone because lots of times when I get home, I set my phone down and I don't look at it again for a long time. And then sometimes I feel like I'm addicted to it and it's with me all the time. So believe me, I'm not telling you I am perfect with this. I'm telling you we all need to look at this. But my kids know to call the home phone because only a few people have that number, and if that phone rings, I answer it because it's my family or my very close friends. So they know that if they text me and I don't answer, they'll call me. In fact, they'll go, look at your phone. It's like kind of cute. So how much is your phone your lifeline? Is it a constant leash? Is it a constant interruption? When was the last time you watched a movie and didn't get a text or an email or an interruption in the middle of the movie? Can you turn your phone off, like all the way off, and watch a whole movie without being interrupted? And then if you do that, do you get in trouble by anybody who says, you didn't answer your phone, or I texted you 3 hours ago, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you text me? What happens when you do that? Can you do that? If you can't follow through with turning your phone off for something important, what is that telling you? Let's say you have date night with your spouse, and you're going to have a nice dinner somewhere, and you're going to go to a movie. Can you turn your phone off? Now, let's say you have little kids. Let's go back to when, like, my kids were little. We didn't have cell phones. So when you left them with a babysitter, you said to the babysitter, we're going to be at this restaurant if there's an emergency. And then you had babysitters that you knew could call 911 or call, here's emergency numbers. They knew where you were. They could get you if they absolutely had to. And what we might do is if we went out to dinner and then we're going to go to a movie, after dinner, we might go to a payphone. That's this kind of box thing that has a number and you put a quarter in it and then you dial. Some of you have never seen one. But we'd go to a payphone or ask the restaurant if we could borrow their phone, and we'd call home and say to the babysitter, everything going okay? You good? We're going to a movie. We'll see you later. So we didn't have the electronic leashes that we have now, which meant no one was interrupting us in the middle of dinner. Now, can you go to dinner with your spouse and not be interrupted? Not have the kids texting you 40 times saying, can I go to Sally's house tomorrow? I mean, whatever it is, everything is urgent and important. And it's really annoying for a lot of us, but we do it anyway. Why do we keep doing it? Are we addicted? There are actually addiction centers now for addiction to computer and screen time and phones and things like that. And we're not thinking of it as exactly the same as addiction to drugs or alcohol, but there is this need to be constantly connected and this need to be constantly stimulated. And it is not necessarily good for people, and it is getting in the way for kids in school and people trying to have a relationship with any kind of significance. So when we come back from a break, we're going to talk more about how do we start to cut this from our lives and how do we really take a sincere look on whether it's messing us up or not. So we're going to go to break and we'll come back in just a minute.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you are listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Native American Music Award winner, multiple awards, amazing musician. We are talking about the effect of technology on our relationships, and we're kind of zeroing in on the cell phone a lot, but feel free to substitute other technology too. So before the break, we were talking about, are you addicted to your phone? Are there things that make you have to have it, have to look at it, can't be without it? If you end up leaving the house without it, you kind of freak out. It's your lifeline to a lot of people, a lot of things, your job sometimes. So where's that fine line between addiction and convenience and I like it, but it's intrusive? And so many of us talk about it being intrusive, but we also know that we need it. So it's a really complicated picture, and I'm not throwing it out there like it is just easy or evil. It's not. It's very convenient, has a lot of pros to it, but there also are some cons, and we need to mitigate those cons as best we can. Let's go back to really focusing on cell phone and your relationship, because I am hearing this a lot in my private practice. When you need your spouse's attention, or your significant other's attention, or maybe it's even your child, your teenager, or something like that, you say something or do something that tries to get their attention. Like you might say, hey, can you help me with this? Or can I ask you a question? Or what do you think about this? When that person stops, puts down what they're doing, and turns and looks at you, or sits down in front of you, you feel valuable. You feel important. And it increases the intimacy of your relationship. When that person keeps going on their phone and goes, yeah, I'm listening, what? But they're still, you know, their thumbs are going a mile a minute on their telephone, on their cell phone. How do you feel? Do you feel like you're intruding on their time? Do you feel unimportant? How often have you said to a significant person in your life, can you put that down and talk to me for just a moment? I have to ask you something important. Because the cell phone becomes this barrier between us and them. And we have to understand that that barrier diminishes relationships. So one of the things you could begin doing right this minute today is when somebody makes a bid for your attention and says, hey, look at me, talk to me, I want to ask you something. Put your cell phone down, don't look at it again, and give them your full attention. And attention means eye contact, listening. You can go back to my podcast on effective communication basics. And what do? You hear them. You say, okay, so you're asking me what you should do about this situation. And they go, yeah, I need your input. So that is an effective conversation which makes your relationship more intimate, closer, more fun. And you're also looking at the person, so you know if their little sarcastic comment is a joke because they've got that little smile and that twinkle in their eyes. If you're not listening, it's very easy to be offended when somebody makes a little comment. So the idea is that we don't want this tool in our hands, this phone, to become a major distraction and an impairment to our relationships. It's okay to recognize how it's advantageous to us in our business or in staying connected to those we love or being accessible when we need to be. But when it is a distraction and it is a wall between the people we love and us, then it's starting to be dysfunctional. And that's the thing that we have to start to change. But I want you to recognize that when your partner makes a bid for your attention and says, listen to me, I want you to engage with me here. If you respond positively to that, they're going to feel like you are engaged with them and you care about them. And it's how you want them to feel with you. It's very important. So let's look at some ways to begin to change how we do this whole addiction thing. Here's some ways to cut your cell phone addictions. You plug it in and leave it. When we first got cell phones, before they were smartphones, and they became a convenience, and everybody had one, but there were no smartphones out yet, you would come in from work or come in at the end of the day, and like I would plug my cell phone in the laundry room to its charger, and so would my husband, and we'd leave it. And we wouldn't look at it again until the next day. We didn't text. The phone was a convenience. And we didn't think about it much. And it was also easy to walk out the door without it. So I would usually lay it on top of my purse, and then I'd grab my keys, my purse, and my cell phone and go. But it didn't have much impact on the daily life inside the household because we didn't need it for that. We had a home phone. So try doing that, and maybe making specific times that you go over to your smartphone and say, I need to check for work emails, or I need to see if anybody's trying to get me. And maybe do that every few hours, or, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or bedtime, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and bedtime, whatever. Pick some times that you have large breaks from that phone so that you're not as stressed by it and your relationships aren't as replaced by it. I've had some friends that have a basket by the door, and it says, place your cell phone here when you walk in the door. And they encourage everybody to turn their phones off and put it in the basket when they are there for dinner or there for a party or visiting. And some people can't do it. So it's interesting. But that's kind of a neat idea, too. When you have a gathering of people, ask them to put their cell phone away. The other thing is, I have another set of friends that have a charging dock by their front door, and they're kind of cute. They have the type of charging cord for Androids and iPhones, and they say, plug your phone in and leave it. And people are more apt to do that because most people need to charge at some point during the day. And that's to encourage people not to be carrying their phone around at a gathering that they have at their house. The other thing that affects us a lot is many of us now use our cell phones as our alarm clock. So what happens when your alarm goes off next to your bed and you pick up your cell phone? You automatically check your text, you check your email, you might jump onto social media and see what's happening with that. So it isn't just an alarm clock anymore, it's a call to the phone. So that, when I started really prepping for this show and looking at things, I thought, you know, that's something I can do differently because my cell phone has become my alarm clock. And it actually is better to have your alarm clock a little bit away from your bed so you have to get up and turn it off. That's kind of a good idea. But I think I'm going to change that one so that that instant cue to wake up and go immediately to the cell phone is gone. Keeping a landline also has its benefits in a couple ways. Sometimes it's an unnecessary expense or too much of an expense. But when you call 911 with a landline, they have your immediate location. That is a good thing. The other thing is if very few people have your landline, like in my house, I don't have to have my cell phone next to me to know that the important calls I need from my kids, my family, they can get me. So The other thing to break that addiction is to have a set time away from the phone. Like, have a family rule. No phones at the dinner table. Go over, turn your phone off, let's have dinner together and visit with each other without every 2 minutes somebody staring down at their phone. Also, if you're having a date night with your spouse or your kids or your significant other, agree to turn the phone off. Check it when you leave. Maybe check it when you leave the restaurant before you go to the movie or something so you're checking in on the babysitter. But if you don't have little kids at home, turn the blessed thing off. Focus on your partner and see if your relationship improves. It will be good for you. But maybe have a rule of keeping phones away from the bedroom. Phones are in the laundry room plugged in or by the front door. They aren't in the bedroom. So if for some reason you forgot to silence your phone in the middle of the night and an email dings at 3 a.m, it doesn't wake you up and it doesn't take away from whatever other activities you might have in the bedroom. That could be good. So set some specific phone check times. We talked about that. Maybe breakfast, lunch, dinner, maybe every 2 hours, maybe every hour on the hour. You go look, take care of a couple things, but not so that it's not every 2 seconds in your hand. The other thing is you really, really need to recognize that this is a hard habit to break. And when I really sit and think about this, and I have really prepared for this show, thinking a lot about this over the last week, that cell phone, when it buzzes and somebody sends you a cute little text or a, you know, saw this and thought of you sort of text, it makes you feel like they like you, like they're thinking of you. So sometimes that connection, that interaction makes us feel less lonely, like others care about us and are thinking about us. So we need to know how much we need that. And do we get that if we check our phone a few times during the day? Or do we have to have that immediately so that we don't start to feel alone and depressed and left out? But these are things to think about with the addiction. Now, the other aspect of addiction and technology is that research has shown that staring at electronic screens actually can affect our neurotransmitters and our brains. There can be a release of dopamine. We can find ourselves feeling more soothed and relaxed. And that's a factor that we have to look at. I know that when my husband was really sick and dying of his brain disease, I started to utilize my phone as much more of an escape. I started listening to audiobooks and listened to hundreds of them. And so my phone was in my pocket with my headphones on because I was alone. I was caretaking someone who at times was extremely ill. And that was my way of controlling some of the internal anxiety and loneliness. So I would utilize my phone to distract myself from the pain of being in my head because it was a pretty difficult place to be. And now as my life is happy again and I'm doing well, I need to let go of that coping skill that I started to create that served me well back then. And I know that at times it kept my sanity, but I don't need it anymore. And it has become habit to do that. So what habit do you have with your phone? How does it control your life? How does it serve you? How does it keep you from having to be bored or read a book or sit and face someone and make eye contact while you talk? It's complicated, isn't it? It's not as simple as just turn the blessed thing off. It's complicated, and we really need to take a look. We're going to take a break in a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about where we can place a phone in terms of importance in our life. And this little technique I'm going to teach you is really pretty cool because you can start to analyze how important are different things in different parts of my life. And really categorize them. So it's a really cool little exercise. So get your pad and paper because I'm going to ask you to write something down so you can kind of draw it. And then I'm going to teach you a really cool technique. All right, so we're going to take a break and we'll come back in a couple minutes.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and we are talking about the effects of technology on your relationship. We're kind of specifically focusing on the cell phone, but please insert all other types of technology, your iPad, your iPhone, your iTunes, computer, all that stuff. We have lots of technology in our houses. So get your pad and paper out, your pencil and paper, and I want you to draw something. I want you to divide your piece of paper into four quadrants. Just kind of draw a big cross down the middle. So you have four quadrants on your piece of paper. And we're going to talk about how to simplify the things that come into your life as how important they are to you. Now, this is a technique that Stephen Covey introduced in a really cool book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It was out quite a long time ago, and it's a very good book. It really focuses your attention. But one of the things I liked best in this book is this thing that I'm going to teach you right now. So I want to thank Stephen Covey for this because it has helped a lot of people because I've taught it to a lot of people over 30 years. Well, it hasn't been out that long, but over a long time. So you've got your piece of paper divided into four quadrants. In those four quadrants, the upper left one is labeled one, the upper right one is labeled two, the lower left one is labeled three, and the lower right one is labeled four. So put that down on your paper. And then up in that first quadrant, let's talk about that. That's what Stephen Covey called urgent and important. So write the word urgent, and underneath the word urgent, write the word important. Think of the things that are urgent and important. The fireplace log rolls out of the fireplace and is smoldering on the carpet. That's pretty urgent and important. You have a bladder infection and you have to get to the bathroom. That's pretty urgent and important. The firefighters coming up behind you, an ambulance coming up behind you with the sirens blaring, and you have to pay attention, you have to pull over. That is urgent and important. But how often do we treat a ringing telephone as urgent and important? We drop everything, we grab the telephone, and we treat it as urgent and important. Now add to that technology. We get a text, we stop what we're doing, we pick it up because we got the little ding-a-ling thing that told us we have a text, and we look at it, or it vibrates, and we look at it. Or you're making love with your significant other, and the phone vibrates on the nightstand next to you, and you stop, and you reach over, and you pick it up, and you treat it as though it's urgent and important. Urgent and important purposely interrupts our life because it should be urgent and important. It should almost be a 911 type of emergency. But in our society today, we have begun to treat so much as urgent and important. And we get pressure to do so. For example, your spouse sends you a text and you're busy in a meeting or you're working or whatever, and you don't answer the text for a few hours and you get in huge trouble. Why didn't you answer me? I texted you 3 hours ago. What were you doing? I was in a meeting. I couldn't answer you. Oh, sure, right. It would take you 2 seconds to answer my text. I hear conversations like that in my office often. So quadrant one is urgent and important. So let's go to quadrant two. In there, write not urgent. And underneath not urgent, write important. Not urgent and important are things like the mortgage needs to be paid. If you're paying your mortgage in quadrant one, urgent and important, you aren't attending to your significant things you need to do. If we could run most of our life in quadrant two, treating things as not urgent because we're on top of it, but important, so we're not spinning our wheels doing things that are not important, then our life tends to be less stressful, more organized, and we are on top of what we need to be on top of. So let's say you got a text from your spouse when you're at work, and the two of you agreed that texts that come in during the day while I'm at work are not urgent, but they are important because you're important to me. So I will look at my phone when I can, and I'll answer your text when I can. But you've both agreed not to take it personally and not to treat it as a quadrant one thing, but to treat it as a quadrant two. This is not urgent, but it is important. And the agreement that you've made is, look, if the house is on fire, if you know you have to meet me at the hospital, if something like that is happening, I will get you. I will call the office. I will call your cell phone, hang up, call your cell phone, hang up, call your cell phone, hang up. You'll know that something's really wrong. And we have a formula for doing that. So that would help keep your cell phone usage to quadrant two, not urgent, but important. So let's look at quadrant three. Write the word urgent, and underneath that, write the word not important. We often treat very unimportant things as if they are urgent. And that's what I'm proposing, that a ringing telephone is often not important, but it's treated like it's urgent. So we need to know what are the things that we treat as urgent when we shouldn't. And why do we do that? Are we trying to gain favor? Are we trying to make someone happy? Are we trying to keep from getting in trouble? What is the reason that we make things urgent even though they're not important? The other thing is sometimes we make things urgent but not important because we're bored. We don't want to fold the laundry. We don't want to pay the bills. We don't want to go for the walk that we promised ourselves we would go do. So we treat the ringing cell phone or the whatever is urgent, even though it's not necessarily important, so we can distract ourselves. And I think we all get really good at that. You know, who wants to go out and clean out the garage? It's much easier to go do this over here. Or somebody calls and says, meet me for coffee, and you're like, yes. Because we're trying to have a life that is not always full of gotta-dos. It has some wanna-dos. And so quadrant three, urgent and not important, can be a huge distraction, and we allow it to be. So now go to quadrant four. Quadrant four is not urgent, and underneath that, write not important. That's where vacation should be. The things we do should be listed as not urgent and not important. I've known people on vacation that are so regimented and scheduled that their vacations are exhausting. Think of a really fun way to do a vacation or a day off or an evening off. You want to have some relaxed time. A lot of years ago, it was before my husband Rich got sick, but I used to say to myself, I want to create space in my day. I want to stop booking my day, running from this thing, the next thing, the next thing, so that I barely had time to breathe. I wanted space in my day so that if I ran into somebody in the grocery store, I could stop and visit for 5 minutes. And I set my intention to begin to do that. That's when I started scheduling an hour and a half lunch instead of finishing up a client at noon and getting somewhere by 12:15 and having lunch, meeting a friend, but having to leave at 12:45 to get back for a 1 o'clock client. That just wasn't working. I just couldn't do it. It was too stressful. So I started scheduling longer lunches so I wasn't so rushed. We want to have space in our life that is not urgent and not important. It means we can breathe. We can stop and look at the sunset. We can smell the roses. We can go have a cup of coffee and sit and read our book for a little bit. Not urgent, not important. So let's go over this one more time. Quadrant one, urgent and important. Quadrant two, not urgent, but important. Quadrant three, urgent, but not important. And quadrant four, not urgent, not important. So you need to take a little bit of time with yourself, with your teenagers, with anybody in your household that has a cell phone, and say, how are we treating our phone usages between the rest of us? When all four of us have our cell phone at the dinner table and all four of us are stopping and looking intermittently at our cell phone, we are treating those devices as urgent and important at the dinner table. What do we want to be urgent and important in our life? How can we live more in quadrant two and quadrant four? Quadrant two, where it's not urgent, but it's important, and we're organized and we're staying focused on the things that are important in our life. And we are supplying time for ourselves in space that is not urgent and not important. So we can take time to visit, to have fun, to kick back, to go for a walk, to do nothing, to sit and do nothing. How often do we do that? I can't think of the last time I sat and did nothing. I need to work on that. It's not easy. So this is really important. We have to take the time to evaluate our technology usage. How does it serve you as an individual? How does it hamper you? And really important is, how does it serve your relationships to stay connected in a positive way? How does it hamper your relationships to make you feel unimportant, not heard, in trouble all the time, secretive, jealous, all of that? And if I were to sum up one thing that I have seen be the most effective cell phone usage within couples, is full transparency. When I'm seeing a couple in therapy and I say, what happens with your cell phones? Can you look at his cell phone? When couples say to me, oh, she can pick up my phone anytime she wants. He can look at anything on my phone. Yeah, he knows all my passwords to everything. She knows all my passwords. There's no hidden things between us. I kind of breathe a sigh of relief, because it tells me, one, they're not hiding stuff. Two, they really trust their significant other. And there's also that kind of safety. If they needed to look on the person's phone for something important, or if they thought they were in danger for some reason, they could do that, and they're not violating anybody's privacy. So cell phone transparency within relationships, I think, is a really important thing. The other thing is trying to create non-technology time within your own life, within your family life, and within your couple life is extremely important, and you need to orchestrate how you do that. The other thing is, right now, beginning this moment, when someone is asking for your attention, put your cell phone down, turn it over, turn it off, stick it back in your pocket, walk over and put it in your purse. Say, just a minute, let me put this down, and then I'll give you my full attention. You can begin to do that in a courteous and kind and loving manner right now, today. And that would be a significant first step in valuing your relationships over your technology. So if you've got some comments or questions about this, you can go to my website, patriciabay.com, and you can click on Email Dr. Patty, and I'd love to hear your feedback. You can also take this podcast that is produced on the radio show, and you can share it with people. You can share it with those significant others that you would like to handle technology in your relationship with them differently. So I encourage you to heal your relationship, to heal yourself, and to become a better you from this moment forward. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. So let's heal the world 1 hour at a time. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.